We've been talking about the Holy Spirit in me, in a series on the Holy Spirit and me. And I'm going to take a little sub-series here for a little bit. I'm going to talk about the flesh versus the spirit, or the spirit versus the flesh. I entitled this message, Spirit versus Flesh, Game On! We accept the challenge. Game on, dude. All right, we're in a battle here. I'm ready for it. If you wouldn't mind, if you would stand with me and read. We're not going to read all the scriptures that we have this morning. We're going to get reading Romans 8. But if you'll stand, we're going to read a couple of excerpts from Romans 8. And just so you have them in your heart as we get ready to preach the word. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Notice the number of flesh and spirits in here. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Is that it? You may be seated. It's amazing in this scripture, in this short little passage here in Romans 8, 21 times he's going to refer to the scripture. I think it's the highest concentration of where of the word spirit in the Bible right here. And also, one of the greatest concentrations of the word flesh, 12 times, actually 14 times, because it refers to carnally, which is fleshly, 14 times is going to talk about the flesh. He's going to contrast here the spirit versus the flesh. The spirit versus the flesh. In John 3:30, he says this, He must increase, but I must decrease. What was he trying to say there? I think one of the aspects of what he's trying to say is he, the Spirit of God who's to be alive in me, must increase, but I, the flesh, those other aspects, must decrease. And in a Christian's life, our goal is to allow the Spirit of God to have free reign and to cage up that flesh that doesn't want to really follow the things of the Spirit of God totally. Think of this battle, spirit versus flesh. All I could think of was MMA, you know, like cage fighting. They get in there and those guys that got kind of just, we had a guy here once who was, he went on into Las Vegas now, and I think he's a cage fighter there. And what's his name? Bristol, yeah. He was absolutely amazing. He had come to church and I look at him, I go, my God, what happened to you? He goes, I was just doing a thing. And I go, well, it sounds like whatever thing you did, you lost. He goes, actually, no, I won. He had 8 or 9 stitches in his face, and it was all beat up. He's all puffy, and he goes, he won. I go, I'd hate to see the other guy, I guess. Anyway, it's what it is. They just—it's kind of wow. They go at it and they fight. They fight. It's a fight between the flesh and the spirit. Who's a good MMA martial? Do we have any martial art guys out there? Do we anybody? Huh? Where? Who? Who? Are you a martial arts person? I'll be afraid of you. You what? Oh, okay. Do you do some? Come on up here. Come on up here. Hurry. Run, run, run. Yeah, come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up in here. Come on up here. We tell like this is the cage right here. All right, see if you can put those on. If you put me on the floor, you're going to get a penalty. I can't even. Can you help me put that on? I need to hold that. I think these are kid gloves. I'm going to take off the kid gloves. All right. Now, if we whoa. This is simply an illustration, okay? We're going through here. My God, he's warming up. I mean, here's dan da da dan da da dan da da. I mean, all right. So now, if we were, I got to be the spirit because I'm the pastor, and you get to be the flesh. Maybe you should be the flesh. We want the winner to be the person who wins out here. Now you got to understand. If he's the flesh and I'm the spirit, you got to realize there's a sparring going on. Let me say this first of all. You'll find this out in Bible Foundations 1, I believe. There's three aspects to who you are. You are spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body, right? Now, your spirit, the Bible says, you have been saved. You have a new spirit. When you asked Jesus Christ in your life, immediately, in an instant, he came inside of you. The Spirit of God came inside of you, so you're redeemed. You have a saved spirit. Awesome, awesome, awesome. That's great. Now, you got to realize that your soul is being saved. They call your spirit getting saved justification. They call your soul being saved, which is a process that's going to take you to the end of time, to the end of the time you have here, all right? That's called sanctification. Your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, which is comprises that, is being saved. You're changing your thinking. You're changing the way you act. You're changing things, but it's over a course of time. Spirit, the Spirit of God came inside, boom, in an instant. And so I am saved in my spirit. I'm being saved in my soul, okay? So it's a process. And then one day, my flesh, this body, this mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. It'll happen in an instant at the end of all time when Jesus comes back again for the second time. This flesh will change. So I have a spirit that's redeemed. I have a soul that's in this process, but it's kind of messed up. So I mean, I'm going through this process, and I have this flesh that's going, dude, it ain't going to happen until we get to heaven. Now, here's the issue then. Because these are operating inside of you, Paul is trying to say here that you have this flesh. Is he redeemed? I mean, the flesh. Okay. So the idea is, here's the flesh. Let's say we're kind of one here. I'm trying to talk about the aspects of who we are here. My flesh. And by the way, this is the color I will be in heaven. I want you all to know that. And I'll be able to dance, and it's going to be cool. You have to realize that this part of me is not redeemed. It's waiting for someday, this flesh. This spirit part, it's redeemed. It's listening to God. It's moving. And so what Paul is trying to say here is, who are you going to listen to? Who's your daddy? I mean, it's like, who are you going to listen to? Are you going to be controlled by this, not redeemed, waiting for a process happening someday, or this which is? And he's saying inside of you, there's this battle going on between you as a redeemed person walking in the Spirit. Come on, let's touch gloves. Oh, boom. All right, So here we are in this match. I'm fighting myself. We're in this battle about who's going to take charge. Who's going to call the shots in your life? Is the flesh, who doesn't have any ounce of redeemability in him. Metaphorically speaking. Or the spirit that's alive inside of you. And so it's sparring about who's going to take control. Who's going to call the shots. And so we're sparring here. Oh, jeez. Man, you hit hard. That's right. He says, I hit like a girl. All right. And so you understand, ding, ding, game on, that we have this, if you will, I hate to say struggle, but there's this aspect of who we are here and who we are here that's trying to take charge of what we should do in the day. I'm here going like, we're fighting away. He's going, hey, let's go hit the bars. Hey, let's go hit the clubs. Let's go look for women. Let's go do this stuff. Okay? He's wanting to do that. Not really. Just. And this one's going, dude, no, I don't need to go there. You know, every time I've been there, I've gotten messed up and things have gone bad. You know, I'm going to learn something here. No, I don't think we want to go there. I don't think I want to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. He's going, no, I think we should do that. No, we're not doing that. And you're going, yes, we're doing that. No, we're not doing that. No, we're not. Okay? So understand that there's this battle going on, and Paul is talking to us in Romans 8 about where are we supposed to walk? Who are we supposed to listen to? So understand it. In all of us, there's this idea of our flesh, unredeemed, that's wanting to take charge and make decisions, and yet God says, I want you to walk by the Spirit that's redeemed, the one that's going to make the right choices, the choices that I want you to make in life. This one won't. Now you have to realize, this person here, the Spirit of God is in him. He's under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, right? The Spirit of God in this one? No. You know who he's under the influence of? The enemy always gets his ear. Hey, have you considered? You know, there's a great-looking gal down at the bar. You know, I think and all of a sudden, he starts appealing to this guy here. He starts appealing. All of the stuff said to this one, and it responds to that. It responds. It kind of touches a nerve. But God has given us a different nerve to run by. But we've got to decide who is really going to run the show. Who's really going to run your life? Is the flesh or the Spirit of God going to run your life? Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Nice job. Here, pull those off for me, will you? Oh, geez. I'm taking off the kid gloves. All right. So, all right. So that is an onset to what we're talking about. There's this battle going on. There's this contest going on. But I want to be the ultimate fighter. I want to be the one who wins. I want to be the one by the Spirit of God. I want that to win in my life. The Spirit of God is dwelling in us and having full access to fill us and use us. That's the Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit. Do you have that note? God dwelling in us, having full access to fill us and use us. The flesh, the enemy's influence on us to use us and misguide us and mess us up. He loves to mess us up. He messes with us and leaves us a mess when he's done. And the whole time while he was talking to us, though, we were thinking it was going to be great and wonderful and awesome. But he always lies. He always lies. But our flesh responds to that. So as we go through this, I want you to think about it in that capacity. As we go through the scriptures, I want you to see the benefits of the Spirit, and I want to see the detriments of the flesh. The flesh is not your friend. We all know this, but it takes time for us to truly believe it after it's failed us so many times as we listen to it. And it takes more time to truly walk in the reality of knowing, hey, I'm not going to walk there anymore. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. The devil uses your flesh to get at you, to use you, to ruin you, and then he'll just discard you. Let's go in the scripture now. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's a choice. You can walk. Which one are you going to walk with? Which one's going to lead your life? Which one's going to take command? The Spirit or the flesh? Which one? And he's saying, hey, there's no condemnation if you're walking according to the Spirit. If you walk according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation. This word condemnation, katakrima, it's an adverse sentence, an adverse sentence, a judgment on you, and it's adversely. Condemnation is that nagging thing that says you're not good enough and produces shame. It reminds you of how bad you are, of all the junk you've done, not just the actions, but it gets personal. It tells you that you're bad, you're awful, you're cruddy, and you have this life sentence, and you're just waiting on death row for it to get filled out. You walk in shame each and every day. God never intended us to walk in shame. And yet, condemnation, the devil tries to get us to walk in shame where we feel like we're on death row just waiting for our sentence. And so life is just miserable because We know we're just awful. I'm bad. I'm bad to the bone. And I'm reminded of it each and every day. One of the major tools that the enemy uses is condemnation. But he says here that we have no condemnation. How much? If you walk in the Spirit, how much condemnation do you have? How much are you supposed to experience? How much shame should you have? It says zero, nil, zilch, sein, or I don't, what's it in German? Huh? Nil or something? Nein. No, that's nine. Ten. None. Cero. Is that Spanish, right? Cero? I don't know. None, 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 nada, none. If you feel shame, you're not supposed to feel it. If you're feeling shame, you got to realize, whoa, 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 whoa. It sounds like the flesh is running me and not the Spirit of God. Because if the Spirit of God is in control in your life, he says you have no condemnation. The benefit here is those who walk in the Spirit are free from condemnation. The detriment, those who walk in the flesh are full of it. However you want to interpret that, they're full of condemnation. Right? We're full of it. We're full of it. The Spirit takes away condemnation. He takes away the condemnation that comes from the flesh. And what he does is he replaces it with conviction. The flesh wants you to walk in condemnation to neutralize you, but the Spirit of God goes, hey, I'm going to replace this condemnation with a thing called conviction. And with conviction, you can repent and have your life changed. With condemnation, how do you get out? You're bad, you're awful, you're a bad person. Darn. Conviction always deals with actions. I did this. I did. It's not personal, putting shame on you because I am bad. It's, I did bad. But I have a, so I can have that forgiven. But I have a Savior who will take it away. Who will take it away. Condemnation uses sin to focus on the shame. Attaching the wrong or sin to your identity. That's who I am. I am that person. I am this awful person. We name ourselves that. That's what condemnation does. That's what walking in the flesh does. That's what the enemy uses to try to neutralize you. Who you are. It's an impersonal affront to who you are, giving you no way out. But conviction. Use a sin to focus in on the guilt. Yes, you're guilty. Attaching the wrong or sin to your actions, what you did, but giving you grace and forgiveness to get you out. One always deals with trying to keep you in. The other one deals with trying to get you out. One's a whirlpool down. It just keeps going and going. The other one, walking in the Spirit, is a whirlpool out. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for conviction. I can ask him to forgive me. I did bad, yes. But you know what? I'm not bad because the Spirit of God is inside of me. He's changing my identity. And I can walk that way. Free. Free. If you're feeling shame, that's not what God wants you to walk in. It's what the enemy wants you to walk in. Because he can keep you in a bad space, place if he can keep you in shame. Continuing on, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life, what Jesus did for me at Calvary, dying for me on the cross, makes me free from the law of death, from the Ten Commandments, from all that law of the Old Testament. Thank God for that. The law of the Spirit of life versus the law of the Spirit of death. The law no longer has any power over me. It can't condemn me. It can't shame me. It can't rule over me. I'm no longer under the law, but now I'm under grace. I'm under a different thing. As I walk in the Spirit, I'm under this grace of God. You walk under the flesh, the law is going to be a thing that's always going to kick you in the rear. Under the law, you'd bring your lamb. In the Old Testament, you'd bring your lamb to pay for your sin, to cover your sin. But in the New Testament, under grace, we have King Jesus, who is the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He takes it away from us. He convicts us. We repent, and his sacrifice pays the penalty for our sin. Powerful. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. The law has no ability to free you. The law has no ability to free you from sin. It just shows you that you're a sinner. The law was God's heart, and it was good, but we couldn't keep it. No matter how hard we tried, when we were tempted, we blew it. We messed up. It had no power to really change us. It only had power to condemn us. He goes on to say, God did. For what the law couldn't do, these Ten Commandments couldn't change me on the inside. What the law couldn't do, God did. God did do. He could change me. How? By sending His own Son, by sending Jesus Christ to us in the likeness of sinful flesh. Just as a man. Just like us, with the same feelings, same passions, same things going on. And yet He didn't bow His knee to sin on account of sin. The law couldn't free me from sin, but God can. And He, you know, the law can't free you from sin, but God can. And that's how He forgives you. And that's how you can look at yourself and go, oh, but I can't. I have a hard time forgiving myself. And God goes, boom, it's over. It's over. You're my princess. You're my darling. You're my lady. He changes everything. That is so awesome about God. He doesn't rub your nose in it and say, you should still keep feeling guilty. He goes, no. I'm your prince in white shining armor, riding in on the white horse. He came in for you to rescue you. How awesome is that? He rescued me. He rescued all of us. Oh, man, God, you're so good. We don't have to live under this law where I'm just bad, I'm awful, I'm rotten. No. I'm going to change you on the inside out. My Son's going to die for you and give you a brand new life, new heart. Wow. He condemned sin in the flesh. He loosed the power over men, that the righteous requirement of the law might be satisfied. Now, this is important. That the righteous requirement of the law might be satisfied. And what was the righteous requirement of the law? If you sinned. The Bible says the wages of sin is alone? No, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The law required death for our sin. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. The Old Testament, that lamb paid for the sin just to cover it. The New Testament, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, He dies. He pays the penalty for my sin. He dies and I get to go free. He fulfilled the law. And this is important. He pays the penalty that the law required. It required death. God set it up. That was the law. The law required death. And He said, I have to fulfill that law. I can't just let you all off. I just can't turn a blind eye. We have to satisfy that requirement that the law said. And it's what He's saying here. He fulfilled that requirement. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. So the law is not mysteriously taken away as He looks the other way and we do a sleight of hand and, oh, now we're all in good graces. No, He allows the law, the death of Jesus Christ, to happen so that now the law, the penalty, death, is paid for in Jesus Christ. He didn't mysteriously look away. He methodically planned to send His very own Son to take your place on the cross so that the law could be fulfilled. And when it was paid, now you're free from the bondage of the law anymore. That deserves an amen, I think, doesn't it? Wow, thank you, Jesus. He paid it. He didn't just whisk it away. He paid it. That's what it's saying here. In us who do not, and it goes on to say, He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. In us who do not walk, this word walk is your bent in life, the inclination. How are you dealing with things? It's how you conduct your affairs. Whose walk, who's bent on life, his leaning is not according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. We're not walking listening to that flesh, but we're walking listening to the Spirit of the living God. And he says this benefit of having your sins paid for is only for those who allow Christ to come into their life. Andy, that's what you did today. You were on the other side. And you said, I'm going to allow him to pay for that. And he did. And when he paid for that, wow. Absolutely amazing. And I love the emotion of your heart. I love the appreciation you have for a God who's able to wash you clean. Because that's where we all are. We need to appreciate this God who washed us clean by pouring out his blood for us at the cross. Therefore, we're not supposed to walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. We're to make this shift. We're not to allow the flesh to rule anymore. We need to make that choice. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Spirit. Phroneo is this, set their minds. Set their minds. Set their minds. Phroneo, and it means to exercise the mind, to entertain, to mentally be mentally disposed, to interest oneself in. And they have to mentally set it. Mentally set it. They set their mind on things of the Spirit. Now, I know, how many people have a watch nowadays? A lot of people don't have, how many doesn't have a watch? If you don't have it, it's your calculator, it's your phone, yeah. Well, there used to be a day, ladies and gentlemen over here, where we had one of these things. What? A watch. And where to set this watch? When you first get it, you find out that it's not really at the right time a lot of times. And so what you do is you pull it out, and then you have to set it. I can explain it to you guys later how it works. You pull it out and you set it. And the interesting thing is you set it to a standard. You don't just go up and go, hey, got my watch today. I'm kind of tired. I'm going to make it 9 o'clock at night. Boom. All right, there you go. And it's 9 o'clock at night. You go, no, it's not. It's 11:40. Oh, no. I want it to be 9 at night. Yeah, I'll put it 9 at night. Boom. And then if you set it to that standard, and then you walk around, are you going to be late for appointments? You're going to have a problem navigating through life? You have just set your watch, your affairs, your life to the wrong standard, didn't you? What he's trying to say here is this. Set your mind, set your clock, set your standards according to that which is spiritual, and do not set your watch, your time, your standards to that which is fleshly. But you got to choose to set it. You got to choose to make it right. You got to choose to make the standard what it is. And let me tell you this. If you decide, I'm not going to set it, the default always goes to the flesh. The default always goes to the flesh. Why can't the default be like the Spirit? I did nothing, and wow, I came out a spiritual person. Wow. Usually, I did nothing. I came out a fleshly person. Why is that? Why is the default that? Why is the default when you till up a ground that fruit trees don't grow? Just a bunch of fruit trees in a nice row with maybe some cauliflower and some beans and peas and just, why don't they grow? Why is it when you just kind of, okay, did nothing, and all of a sudden, what comes up? Weeds. Because the default is what? Weeds. If you don't do anything, weeds come up. Why can't the default just be everything wonderful? Gosh, I did nothing, and everything went great in my marriage. I did nothing, and everything went great with my kids. I did nothing, and everything went great at my work. I did nothing. The default isn't usually good, is it, to do nothing? He's saying this. Set your standard. Set your life. Not to walk according to the flesh. Set your life, your standard, on this. Set your life, your standard, to listen to the Spirit, not to listen to the attacks of the enemy, to all the stuff he's going to say in the flesh. The flesh just kind of gets excited over. He's saying, set it. Set it. Set your mind. You've got to choose to do it. You've got to take some action. You've got to move it forward. And if you do nothing, the flesh will always take over. Weeds will always happen. They are glad to grow wherever. They can grow in asphalt. I can see them growing out of the asphalt. How does that happen? Who put water there? Who put a seed there? Who did anything there? Oh, if you do nothing, weeds grow. If you aren't constantly setting your watch, oh, I'm 5 minutes fast. I need to reset, recalibrate. Why do you think you come to church? Do you know why you come to church? A few minutes fast. Oh, a few minutes slow. I'm recalibrating. The whole idea, hopefully, as you come here, is to be energized, to energize your spirit. Is to recalibrate it, to re-standardize it, to re-look to it, to make sure that it's the ruling factor of my life and that I haven't just gotten lazy and done nothing and allow the flesh to start growing up areas in my life that I wonder how they got there. I'll tell you how they got there. You did nothing. You do nothing and it just grows. This ugly monster called the flesh just grows and starts taking over stuff. Set your mind on things of the Spirit. Set it. Set your life. That's what he's saying here. Set it. Set it. Set it. You can't just set it and forget it. You got to set it and then relook at it next week and relook at it next week and relook at it next week and relook at it next week to make sure I'm on time, I'm on standard, I'm on cue, and the flesh is getting nothing. These people have programmed their minds to be responsive to and listen to one or the other. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? My question is this. What have you set your mind on? The spirit of the flesh. What are you setting it on? Remember, to do nothing, to not set it, it defaults to where? The flesh. The next statement is this. By what standards are you living by? By, B-U-Y, B-U-Y. And here's the funny thing. When I was finished working through my notes last night, and I was there, and I go, oh, B-U-Y, I spelled it wrong. I need to change it to B-Y. And as soon as I went to change it, the Holy Spirit said, no, leave it right there. And I go, what do you mean leave it right? Just no, it's exactly the word I want there. Because you have to buy your standard. Because it will cost you. If you want to set your clock to the Spirit, if you want to set your standard to the Spirit, it is going to cost you. You will have to buy what standard you're living by. You're going to have to buy it. It's going to cost you. But I'll tell you what, like in life, you get what you pay for. Pay nothing, or you can get the flesh to run rampant all over you. You're going to have to buy your standard. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Continuing on. For to be carnally or fleshly, to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace. The benefit here is those who set their mind on the Spirit get life and peace. And those who set their mind on the flesh, they get what? Not good. It seems to be like, God, are you trying to say something? He's kind of going, hint, hint. Here's what you should set your mind on. Hint, hint. Hey, life, peace. Set it over here. Over here, death. Hint. Hey, I would pick this one. Pick door number one. Pick door number one. Pick it over here. Hey. Pick this one. Because the carnal or the flesh mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Enmity. Enmity. The flesh, this flesh side is enmity. Ekthros. Ekthros. It means to hate. To be hateful, hostile, an adversary, to oppose. Now look what it says here. But the carnal, fleshly mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Those who have set their mind on the flesh go against God. I didn't set it. It just went there. You have to understand that that's the same boat you're in. It goes against God. And God sees it as an act of hostility, of hatefulness, as being an adversary, as being opposed to. Well, I didn't set it. Remember the default. Remember why you're here every Sunday. Hey, I want to make sure I don't want to be at odds with God. I want to make sure I'm walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh. The flesh is not subject to the law of God. It doesn't listen to God. It can't. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Ouch. So to walk in the flesh, I didn't choose the flesh, but it's the default. You can't please God. Why? Because you're an enemy of God. You're an enmity with Him. It's a hateful response. It's a hurtful. It's a hostile if we're walking in the flesh. He sees it as contrary to where He's at. They say, dude, you can't please me if you're walking in the flesh. Oh, but I did all these good things. I'm not after your good things. I'm after the good heart that I want to change and transform inside of you. I'm not after actions. I'm after your heart. I'm after your heart. If you're walking in the flesh, you can't please Him. The detriment here, walking in the flesh puts me at odds with God and I can't please Him. Not a good place to be. Continue on. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Hallelujah. If, conditional, indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Oh, I'm walking in the Spirit if the Spirit dwells in you. Important word here, dwell. This word dwells. Oikeo. It means to occupy a house, to reside, inhabit, remain, cohabit, and inhere. How many of you know what the word in here means? Okay, a few folks. In here. I looked it up. It says to exist permanently and inseparably in. God exists permanently and inseparably in. In here. God lives in here. He lives in here. He lives in here. This is where God lives. He dwells. He exists. He permanently resides here. He's saying, if He dwells there, if He resides there, if He's at home there, if that's His place, then we're walking in the Spirit, if He's in here. So here's my question. Which one calls you His home? The flesh or the Spirit? Which one says, hey, I'm home now? Or which one do you call homie? This is my homie. Also, I looked up in the Urban Dictionary. Homie. A shortened version of homeboy. Homeboy being your close friend. One who always has your back when you need it. Your homie. Is the Holy Spirit your homie? Does He feel at home here? Or does He feel like, hey, I don't want to bother you. I know you've been doing other things. I know you got a bunch of stuff to do with the flesh here, but you mind if I just stay a night? That I just, maybe? Or does He just live there? Have we kicked out all the other intruders? We only got one bed here to sleep, and we sleep the Holy Spirit. The problem with us is we have a couple of beds in there. Holy Spirit, oh, but the flesh came just to visit one night. He's going to leave tomorrow. It's going to be great. I promise I'm going to get back. Everything's going to be good. Just tonight, He's going to spend the night. But hey, don't worry. I mean, believe me, when He's there, He drops a whole bunch of seeds everywhere. And all sorts of junk starts growing up in places you never wanted it to grow up. Who resides there? Who's at home there? Whichever one you feed is the one that grows. Yeah, we had some pictures of some lawns. This lawn got fed. This lawn didn't. This lawn got fed. Looks nice. This lawn didn't. Part of this lawn got fed. Part of this lawn didn't. Whatever gets fed is going to grow. What are you feeding in your life? Are you feeding the Spirit? Are you feeding the things of the Spirit? That's what Paul's trying to get at. Do you know what you have? You know the power you have. What are you doing with it? Are you growing it? Are you allowing it to take over? Or are you allowing some foreign thing to drop seeds in there that are going to mess you up? It will mess you up. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. The sign of the Spirit is the sign of ownership. The Spirit of God in you, sign that you're owned by him. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. The flesh is supposed to die. The Spirit is supposed to live. The grass is supposed to look like that. Here's the flesh, it's dying. Here's the Spirit, it's growing. We want the flesh to die. I must decrease. He must increase. I want him to take over. Holy Spirit, take over me. Inundate me. Overrun me. Come, Holy Spirit. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if he's in here, guess what's going to happen? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through the Spirit who dwells in you. Christ is in here. He's going to give your body life. The flesh is going to kill it. The benefit here is if the Spirit dwells in you, you have the same power that Jesus had. That's an interesting thought. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. His Spirit also dwells in you, the same Spirit. But if the Spirit, the same Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit dwells in you, the same Spirit, you have the same power that Jesus had. That is amazing. That is powerful. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We don't owe the flesh anything. The devil will tell you, you owe him everything. You owe me, you owe me, you owe me. I owe the flesh nothing. I owe the Spirit of God everything because he ransomed me and delivered me. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you choose to live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. And my thought here is this: why don't we just let the Spirit of God inside of you clobber the flesh? Clobber him. Beat the snot out of him. Make him look like death warmed over, because honestly, that's exactly what he is. Don't let the flesh beat you up. By the power of the living God that lives inside of you, beat up that flesh. Tell him, game on, man. Game on. Game on. I am ready. I'm going to live by the Spirit of God. I'm not going to let the flesh have its way in my life. I'm going to boot him out, kick him out, knock him out, and let the Spirit of God have his way. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. He goes on to say, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Help, Dad, help. Hey, Dad, I need help. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We have this Abba, Father. We cry out to God, help us, Lord. Help us. Help us. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I love what Tommy said about this verse, which is really, really powerful. I'm going to bring this to a close. When you think about an estate, if you're an heir, you divide up the estate. Every heir gets an equal portion, or whatever portion, you divide it all up. But if you're a joint heir, everyone gets all. Everyone gets all of it. We get all of God. We get all of the Spirit. We're joint heirs with Christ. We get all of him. We get him all. The Spirit of God wants to come alive inside of us. It wants to transform us. It wants to help us. He goes on to say, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. The final thing down here, he also gives us a prayer language that we can pray. The Holy Spirit allows us to commune with God in such an amazing way that we get a call on him. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would understand what you're doing in the Spirit. That there really is this battle going on, Lord, but we know the Spirit wins if we allow him to, if we set our minds there, if we set our standard to walk in the Spirit. Lord, we don't want the seeds of the flesh, the junk of the flesh, the weeds of the flesh growing in our life. Lord, game on. I don't want to listen anymore to the lies of the enemy that speak through our flesh, that deceive us. And we know there's no gold at the end of that rainbow. But Lord, in you, there's something wonderful, something awesome, something amazing. Help us, Lord, to fight the good fight of faith, to render the flesh powerless, and to empower the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It lives in here. It lives in me. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we walk wholeheartedly after you. Let the flesh die. Let the Spirit live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, Annie didn't know him. But you saw what he did when he came into her heart, what he did for her. He can do the same thing for you. If you're having a hard time forgiving yourself, come on up here. You can pray, and the Lord will say, hey, dude, I can handle that. I can change you. I can take away the shame. I can change your life. If you need prayer for anything else, come on up here. And if you want to receive a prayer language, we talked about it in our Bible Foundations class or in our Carpenter Series class. They're going to come on up here and get filled with the Holy Spirit. So if that's something you'd like to do as well, they'll be over here right after we close. God is so good. I want to walk in the Spirit. I don't want to enjoy a life that's set on his standard that I can enjoy. We'll pick this up next time to talk more about this Spirit versus the flesh. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.